This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, April 13, 2022. Wednesday in Holy Week, by Father William Doc Holliday.
From that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Judas goes to the chief priests and the scribes, and what will you give me if I deliver him to you? It's interesting because he just asks a question about what they will give him if he turns him over to them. Not one of the Gospels attempt to assign a motive to Judas' action. Not one of the Gospels tries to, why does he want to betray our Lord? Guess it's not for us to know. But it is something that we really need to be attentive toward, because to be traitorous to our Lord is something that is a proneness for all of us. We betray him every time we commit sin, particularly a mortal sin. Any grave matter is a betrayal. Any sin is a betrayal of our Lord. But when you commit these gross sins, it is something that should really be overwhelming. Because when you look at the betrayal of Judas, there are some aspects of it that I think they allude us sometimes to what we've seen happen before and what's going on right now. This man, Judas, he complained vociferously about the woman who anointed our Lord's feet with the ointment. What was his beef? The ointment that used on your feet was worth 300 denarii. We could have given that to the poor. We all know Jesus' response to that. Jesus doesn't mind excess when it's for his glory. But Judas's beef, again, 300 denarii. And now he's going to turn over the Lord of glory for 30. There's this big discussion as to denarii and the amount that it was worth for the 30 pieces of silver for our Lord, whether they're shekels or denarii and things like that. But we do know that our Lord was worth 10% to Judas what the ointment was that he complained about being used to anoint his feet. Most people have heard, you go to church often, that the 30 pieces of silver was what a slave was worth. The Old Testament doesn't say that that's how much a slave is worth. It's how much a person had to give a slave owner if he struck, assaulted, or killed their slave. So it wasn't even, you know, using 30 pieces of silver for a slave, you think, oh, well, a healthy human being that can do work for you. A dead one. A dead slave was worth 30 pieces of silver, according to the Old Testament, Exodus 21, verse 32, if you guys like to see things like that. You know, this whole 30 pieces of silver is nothing new. It had been set in stone on what this idea was and how paltry a sum this was to turn over the Lord of glory to those who hated him. How much hatred can the man who turned him over to them have to give him over for such a tremendously weak sum of money? You really think, he would have said before, well, his motivation was money. He would have made a whole lot more money. Like, he carried the purse. He had money at his beck and call. A whole lot more than 30 denarii. If he had just kept status quo with Jesus, he would have gotten to carry the purse around and pilfered as much as he wanted. It was an indefinite sum of money that he could have used. He turns our Lord Jesus over for 30 pieces of silver. It's interesting, it was one of the reasons I say, it's always good to know the rest of the scriptures, particularly the Old Testament, because they speak to things like this. In the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 11, that chapter is specifically about, prophetically, the destruction of Jerusalem, God's dealing with the Jews, chastising them, and their subsequent, consequent reprobation. I mean, he completely turns them over to exile in Zechariah chapter 11. And these are the words, portion of that. God speaking through the prophet, I said to them, bring hither my wages. And they weighed for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, cast it into the sanctuary. What did Judas do with the 30 pieces of silver after he betrayed our Lord? He cast it into the sanctuary. This was the fulfillment of prophecy. This had to happen. It was inevitable that Jesus was going to be betrayed. The death of Jesus was inevitable, but it was not inevitable that one of his disciples would betray him. This is why there are consequences, because some people would look in a cursory fashion, as it is written of the Son of Man, he must be betrayed. It doesn't say that one of his disciples will do it. Like I said, it's inevitable that our Lord was to die for our sins, that it was not inevitable one of his disciples would turn him over. This is why the dire consequences of Judas Iscariot. You know, you look at the consequences of Judas. When our Lord Jesus, I've actually had people argue with me. You cannot say that Judas is in hell. Yes, I can. Because Jesus says it. There are explicit, it doesn't say Judas is in hell right now. When our Lord Jesus Christ looks at you and says, it would be better if you had not been born, what part of heaven could that mean? I mean, it's ridiculous. He tells his father, not one has been lost, but the son of reprobation, the son who is damned to hell. That's what reprobation means. The son who has been damned to hell. He's the only one that has been lost. If we go to heaven, what do we call that? We've been saved. So when Jesus says, the one who has been lost, no brainer. Yeah, I can very comfortably say this because this is what our faith teaches us. The consequence for Judas, our Lord Jesus, there is no more explicit, firm, up in your face, negative indictment of any action of anyone that our Lord makes than this one. When he said, better if this man had not been born, sounds very churchy, sounds very poetic. What is he saying here? It would be better not to exist than to burn perpetually in the fires of hell. These are Judas' consequences for his betrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ because he did it on his own. This is why we don't have a motive. It's just the darkness of his heart. It doesn't matter because darkness of our hearts manifests itself in all kinds of different ways for all of us. Sin. We betray our Lord Jesus Christ every time we do something that is grave matter. And we should be aware of the consequences when he said such things as this about Judas. Because Judas is not the only one that reaped consequences for this whole debacle. To whom did Jesus hand our Lord over? The Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees, all of them. It's kind of interesting, the consequences of the Jews that continue to this day, this very day. One and betrayed, pay 30 pieces of silver for him, stand before Pilate, crucify him, away with this man. Why? What evil has he done? I wash my hands of his blood. His blood be upon us and on our children. And then within a few weeks, Book of Acts tells us that they call Peter and the apostles in because they've been preaching in the name of Jesus, the resurrected Christ, and don't put this blood, man's blood on us. A few weeks ago, you said, his blood be on us and on our children. And it is, and it has been. There are consequences to this. And interesting, one of the most up-in-your-face psalms as far as an imprecatory psalm, imprecatory calling God's curses down on me, is Psalm number 109. Psalm 109 is, a lot of the verses are applied to Judas by scripture, Psalm 109. It's interesting, Psalm 109 has 30 curses in it. Kind of interesting that our Lord was turned over for 30 pieces of silver. And a lot of commentators say, and the Jews have reaped the 30 curses of Psalm 109. the consequences for the Jews are, again, historical. There's a second, third century historian, Hegesippus by name. He speaks of 30 Jews who were taken prisoner by Titus, and they were sold into slavery for a denarius apiece. They turned our Lord over for 30 pieces of 30 denarii, and those Jews that were taken captive were sold for one denarius apiece. These are the consequences of turning your back and being traitorous to our Lord, because to whom were the Jews traitorous? Not just our Lord Jesus Christ, but to the covenant that had been made with them by God himself. There are going to be consequences when you are traitorous. Again, we see through history where there is this horrible things have happened to the Jews. They are the ones that called it. This blood be upon us and on our children. God will not be trifled with. How could God do this to us as a people? You asked him to. You asked him to. You said, his blood be on us and on our children. That's your descendants. God does what you ask. Call praying. You just got to watch what you pray for. You just might get it. St. Francis Borgia used to, in his meditation, because the great saints, they always knew the pecking order. They always knew where they stood before God. St. Francis Borgia used to, in his meditations, when he would contemplate his own sinfulness, he would, in his meditations, this was shared in his life, his biography. St. Francis Borgia, in meditation, used to place himself at the feet of Judas. What? He thought that low of himself, that he, in meditation, placed himself at the feet of Judas, because the consideration was that there is nobody in any lower place in hell than Judas Iscariot. He is like sitting right there next to Lucifer. Lucifer betrayed God. Judas betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ, God. This is how tremendously the church has looked on the consequences that have been leveled by our Lord on those who betray him. This is where, again, I say, this isn't a history lesson. This is something that we need to contemplate when we look about our own spiritual lives. When we keep ourselves within that will of God that is his commandments and precepts, because if we betray him, we should expect dire consequences. Again, particularly, everybody's a sinner, yes. There's a huge difference between a repentant sinner and an unrepentant sinner. Those who know our Lord Jesus Christ and turn their back on him in betrayal. Because, we never even, I go to Mass and everything. Like, Judas started out well. He was called by our Lord Jesus Christ to be an apostle. It doesn't get any better than that. Jesus Christ calls you personally to be his apostle, and you wind up being the traitor? That's how far we can fall, from apostle to traitor of our Lord Jesus Christ. From apostle to, it would be better if you had not been born. It can happen. It can happen. But so can the opposite. St. Paul, Saul of Tarsus. I said Judas started off very well and wound up being the traitor. St. Paul, look what happened to him. He started out, let us just say, badly, okay, breathing fire out on the church, executing, standing around, consenting to the death of martyrs, arresting men, women, throwing them in prison, breathing out fire on the church. He started off badly, but look at him now. He's St. Paul, apostle to the Gentiles, saint. So both of those things can happen. It is up to our free will, just like it was up to Judas, just like it was to Saul of Tarsus. This is the reality of things. There are rewards and there are consequences to our faith. You had to enter the first reading today. Always, the first reading ended, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? That sounds really nice. And that was where it ended in the lectionary. That's not where the verse ends. Behold, all of them will be destroyed like a garment. The moth will eat them up. So even in that first reading today, that is very positive in what the Lord does for people, the last part of that verse is what happens to those who betray him. We've got to be very, very careful about betraying the Lord. This is not a matter of Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died for everyone's sins. It's whether or not they betray him over that or not is the question. What was our reaction to his dying for our sins? Do we embrace him in faith and obedience, or to betray him with our sins? The consequences or rewards are consummate for our behavior. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.